You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. Kindergarten teachers across the state are preparing classrooms for South Dakota's youngest public school learners. But how many kids will fill those seats on the first day of school? What do we know about parents holding their students back during a year of pandemic disruption, or what is otherwise known as redshirting? The answer to that question is a little hard to get at. Carmen Stewart is director of USD Head Start, and she's joining us with some insight on the road to kindergarten in South Dakota. Carmen, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's ground people in what exactly the mission and purpose of Head Start is, particularly in your area being connected to USD and the surrounding communities.
Sure. Head Start is a federally funded grant that is nationwide, and its purpose is really to support children from low-income families in having access to high-quality early childhood services so that there is no delay or risk when they enter a formal school setting.
All right. So we've been trying to get at this question of how big this kindergarten class is going to be, because we have some numbers about really how many people did not, I mean, how many parents, just the enrollment nationwide in kindergarten last year was really low. There were some pretty significant drops across the country. But when we talk about how many kids are coming into kindergarten to the incoming class, we just don't know that answer on a statewide level, right? Help me understand why.
Yes, that is correct. One of the reasons we don't know that information is because in our state, South Dakota, we don't have a way to track where younger children are. So we have some numbers regarding how many children are enrolled in Head Start. We have some numbers about how many children receive early childhood special education services. We know capacity for our regulated child care centers, but there are so many children that stay at home or receive service in unregulated preschool or unregulated child care that it is really hard to get any solid numbers as a state. We know we have approximately 12,500 children, age four or age five, that potentially could be coming in, but it's really hard to know where those kids have been served, where they're at today, and whether or not they're going to be coming into kindergarten that first day of class.
So do they just show up then? If you're a kindergarten teacher, what are you preparing?
So
you know some of them, and you have those little name tags on the desks already.
School districts really do go above and beyond. They do community work. They do community assessment. They do kindergarten roundup and screenings. They are connecting with those providers in their communities to get a count. So districts at a local level probably have a pretty good idea. You know, there are some districts that have a lot of movement in and out, so I'm sure their numbers change right up until the first day of school and even after that. But on a local level, it's a little bit easier to determine. When you're looking at a statewide level, that's where those numbers get harder to predict.
So talk to me a little bit about the partnership between Head Start, your Head Start, USD, and local schools. How do you pass off some of those kids and make sure that those kindergarten teachers have the most information about where these kids are at and who's coming to their school?
Right. Yep. So that's a part of Head Start. We have a built-in transition process. We work collaboratively with our school districts. So any child that's enrolled in Head Start, the district knows they're coming. And with parental permission, get a lot of information. So most of our Head Start preschool classrooms are actually located in our partner school districts. So they're right there in the building. They know the principal. They know the staff. So that transition works really well. And all Head Start programs have a responsibility to help transition children into that formal school setting. I think the concern comes more about children who don't have access to those high-quality early childhood experiences. And those are kids that walk in that first day of kindergarten that could be at a totally different level of learning or have had interrupted learning. And so a kindergarten teacher that first day of school and that first year, they're really challenged because they may have children in a two-year age spread with lots of different early childhood experiences coming into their door. And there's somewhat of an expectation that by the end of that kindergarten year, those kids will be at a similar place at the end of the learning, which is a pretty impossible task.
Wow. And this year, in theory, a lot of first graders could show up as well. Is kindergarten mandatory in South Dakota? It's still...
It is, but not right at age five.
Correct. Okay. So some kids could be starting first grade in theory.
Yeah. And some districts have junior kindergartens that are operating as well. And, you know, I believe Head Start programs and school district programs, our ultimate goal is we want children to succeed in school, and we want to make sure we are offering the programming that best gets them there. But, you know, even without COVID, the challenge of bringing children together that have had diverse experiences and backgrounds and quality in their early childhood programming, that's a challenge that goes kindergarten and it goes all the way up the grade levels.
Interesting. All right. So let's talk a little bit about helping the child prepare for kindergarten. What are some of the things that Head Start does and, you know, help get kids excited for that transition? What does that look like? And how was that impacted by the pandemic?
Right. So Head Start programs really have a model that parents are their child's first and best teacher. So anything we do is always supported and grounded by the parents. We have services that start for expectant women, and they go up to kindergarten age eligibility. Some programs offer actual classrooms that children go into. Some Head Start programs offer services right in the home, and then there are some that are kind of a combination of both. And we really follow developmentally appropriate expectations for children. There's a document called the South Dakota Early Learning Guidelines, which just lays out some of those typical developmental expectations for infants, toddlers, older toddlers, younger preschoolers, and older preschoolers. So it's a resource that formal care providers, parents, relative care, preschool programs, everybody can use it so that we can all get these kids heading in the same direction prior to kindergarten entry. And of course, Head Start is a comprehensive program. So we also support health and nutrition. We support mental wellness, oral health. So we're very comprehensive in our approach. It's more than just the child getting services. It's services for the whole family.
Yeah. So spending time with your child in those early learning years is huge. Reading to your children is huge. How do you kind of help parents understand what kind of time matters and how to read to their kids? Talk a little bit about, you know, coaching or offering resources for parents to do those things that we know that the research shows will help them be ready for day one.
Yes, so that is, again, an integral part of what Head Start programs do. And it is. It's that coaching. It's helping them observe their child so that they understand where their child is developmentally, giving them ideas and activities that they can do in the home that will help their child move to that next skill level of development. There are some opportunities we have to provide some resources for families, books and things, so that they have access to those types of things in their home. But there are other agencies across our state. We have a statewide family engagement network that really supports reading for families. And so Head Start isn't the only game that's working really hard to prepare children for kindergarten. There are a lot of good programs out there that are free for families to access. So we just really try to make sure all the families we come in contact with are aware of all the resources that are out there in our state.
We were talking with author Emily Oster last week, and she had written a book called The Family Firm, which really unpacks data. And one of the topics that she was talking about was redshirting your kindergartner and keeping them back a year, which we're presuming that many parents did, although we don't know the numbers yet. One of the things she was talking about is that the graduation rates can be skewed a little bit depending on when people send their kids to school. They enter the workforce at different times. I had never really thought that far ahead. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts working with kids in Head Start about age you know, sending your kid to kindergarten, to public school for the first time at different ages. What sort of decisions go into that?
I think that is probably one of the hardest decisions that parents must make today. And, you know, there are some different options. So in some districts, parents can choose between a junior kindergarten program and a traditional kindergarten program. And that automatically then adds a year in most cases to a child's traditional school length of term. And then you get children that are turning 18 before they leave high school, which adds other challenges. So I think the best piece of advice or my thought on it is just we really need to give parents all the information we can about their child, their social development, academically where they're at, what types of kindergarten programming will be available for their child, what types of extra support might be available if they choose to send their child and their child does end up struggling. I think parents need all the information they can get to make the best decision. Parents really do know their child, and I just like school districts set up programming and Head Start set up programming to make sure children are successful in school. I think parents want that too for their children. I think they want to make sure that they're getting their child really off on a great start, but they need lots of information to make that decision. It's a hard one.
And to be clear, we don't have any kind of state-funded pre-K, you know, universally in the state. So a lot of these parents, especially in rural communities, are you know, traveling for preschool or trying to figure out how to make this transition in vastly different ways than if you lived in one of the state's largest cities, for example.
Correct. And even living in a larger city, the cost of preschool makes that inaccessible for some families. So even if you are in an area where it's available, you may not be able to afford it. And then there is also no oversight for quality. So parents may be paying a large amount for a preschool that really isn't offering much to their child. So there's lots of challenges with early childhood equity access and quality.
Yeah. On a final note, I was talking to a friend this morning just kind of about how difficult, you know, I have such great memories about sending my child off to kindergarten and going to kindergarten myself. It was so fun. And you have the school supplies and the, you know, first day of school outfit in the backpack. And I just was bemoaning, you know, how difficult it must be for parents today to make that transition after a year of such struggle in parenting and education. And my friend said, never underestimate the power of a kindergarten teacher to make it fun and to welcome them. So definitely some challenges ahead, but some optimism, too, because these teachers are dedicated to opening the doors and making every child feel welcome. What do you want to say about that before we wrap things up here, Carmen?
Yes, I would agree. Dedicated, compassionate. They understand the importance of play. They understand the importance of relationships and social engagement. And the challenges that our kindergarten teachers have, these challenges are not new other than the COVID layer on top of it. So they've always had to be prepared with their curricula, with their lessons, to really meet a broad range of children that come in with very developmental background and experiences. So they've got that piece, you know, the COVID layered on top of it adds additional stressors for kids and families and staff and maybe some inconsistency or interruption in a prior learning year. So there's definitely more challenges, but I think in our state, South Dakota, kindergarten teachers do a great job of bringing all the kids in and making a very fun year for them. A year full of learning.
Carmen Stewart, Director of USD Head Start, thanks for helping us unpack that. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Be well.